Thank you for listening to this talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown, Atlanta.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day. I don't think it's officially summer yet, but it feels very summery to me. I came up with the title, if you've read the newsletter, Nothing Ventured, Nothing Gained. You've heard that before, right? And it came to me because of what I'm going through in my life. And life is always introducing us to something. So the Nothing Ventured, Nothing Gained is the fact that I was recently discovering that I have to move. I've been in an apartment in Buckhead that was supposed to last 2 years after getting a divorce. And it's been 12. And I wondered what was going to get me out of there. And they have to tear it down for me to get out. So here I am looking at nothing ventured, nothing gained. Now, I must say that the property was just perfect for my lifestyle. For those of you that know that I travel a lot for work, I could actually just put my bags down and turn the key and, you know, call for someone to do the plumbing and to do the air conditioning and do all the work. Well, that started to get a little sketchy at the beginning of the year, actually. It was getting difficult coming home on the weekends, and it would be cold, and there would be no heat. I'm like, what's the matter? Aren't you supposed to come? So I'm getting fidgety about moving, and all of a sudden, I'm talking to my neighbor. I think I'm going to look. Well, I think I'm going to look is over. I've looked and found. So I was reminded also last weekend about the fact that nothing ventured, I looked up in dictionary.com. So I'm going to just read some of the things that it said about ventured. And I always think of the word adventure as well. An undertaking involving uncertainty as to the outcome, especially risky or dangerous ones like mountain climbing. There's business ventures, where you speculate what kind of market is going to be out there, whether you're going to make a profit or there's going to be some risk of loss. Ventured is also money, ship, cargo, merchandise. I didn't know it meant all these different things. But to me, it meant that Angela hadn't looked for anything in a while, and now she's going to have to. And in our lives, I believe if we take no risks, we gain no benefits. So it's time for me to benefit more from whatever life has to offer. But sometimes we get shaken up a bit. We don't just kind of step out on our own and do it. So there's three concepts I want to talk about briefly this morning. And the first one is about change. It's constant. It is going to happen whether we want it to or not. All you have to do is look at your baby pictures and look at yourself now. It's changed. We also want to talk about choice, which is an expansion. We can choose to stay in our small places, or we can decide that the world is our oyster and it is large and let's partake of it. And we can also talk about what The Gift was by Ernest Holmes, the Science of Mind founder, and John said it, treatment. Because that expands our gratitude. If we know how to pray, all we have to do is pray, and everything will be summoned unto us. It is true. So let me give you some of the components based on my life, which I often do. So first one is change. With this change coming, I had to pull out, I won't say an old favorite, but it's a cute story that I'll kind of brief you over. Who moved my cheese? It felt like my cheese got moved. Your cheese is your house, your relationship, your job, anything that seems like it was in your lap and it was plentiful, and now it's gone. Or you actually see it kind of dwindling away, but you do nothing about it. You just think it's going to be there. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. I had neighbors with this situation that they have not started to look for property. They have not started packing. I said, what are you going to do? They said, they're going to have to put me out on the street. That could happen. they're Sniff and Scurry are two of the characters in this book. And then you have him and Ha. Snip and Scurry are actually two little mouse kind of figures. And they are always ready. They have their little sneakers on, and they're sniffing and scurrying to what's next. Well, him and Ha are two little people. They're the same size as the mouse, but they're humans. That's us. We him and Ha about life. One is Ha. Now, he wants to move, but his buddy him is like this. He's the one that's going to get put out on the street. Ha sees that Snip and Scurry is all gone. They went somewhere else. They saw that the cheese was dwindling. They were gone before the cheese was all gone. Him and Ha starting to get a little hungry. They're trying to figure out what to do next. But Ha is listening to him with his arms folded and not ready to go. And it's going to come back. It's going to come back. But they're slowly dwindling away because not being fed. And not being fed, not just the cheese metaphorically, is their job. It could be actually where you want to live, in my case. It's actually where you want to play in life. You're retired and you're ready to do something different, but you're hemming and hawing about how to get that done. So some of the components in this book tells us how to let change happen. Or anticipate the change. I think me saying that I was going to have to move was kind of anticipating the change coming. But I wasn't moving fast enough according to the universal unfoldment for Angela Harmon. I really think my ordination had something to do with catapulting this into new hyperspeed. It's like, oh, you ordained? Let's see how you use that. It is always constantly showing us, if we think we have more, use it. Let's see how you use it, Angela. So monitor the change. Adapt quickly. If I didn't adapt quickly and I decided to hem and haw like the rest of the neighborhood, I would not have this magnificent picture that you can't see from afar, but I'm going to hold it up anyway because I carry it everywhere I go. I am under contract for a condo. So here we go. This teaching works. We have to enjoy the change. What I did, I started walking around my neighborhood and giving love to it. It was great. I was grateful for getting to live in that space for such a long time. And I also give thanks to the pond that my grandchildren played at when we walked over to feed the ducks. And I think they put that sign up, don't feed the ducks because of us, because we kept going to feed the ducks. So we have to just look at the ducks now. And be ready to change quickly, because if I hemmed and hawed about it, I could have missed this opportunity. It is well designed in the fact that I can drop my bags and still travel and not feel like I'll have concern when I'm in Manila for 3 weeks at a time. It gave me exactly what I needed because I know that I can move with my cheese. So it's up to us to make the cheese sometime, right? I remember a commercial that was time to make the donuts. You remember that? Time to make the donuts, time to make the cheese. It's up to us to allow our life to expand in ways that we don't hem and haw, but we snip and scurry. It is equivalent to my favorite subject, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, where you want to be proactive in your life. You don't want to be reactive to things. I had one of my students before today. I said, do you remember the 7 habits? We just did the class in March. He said, all 7 habits. I was so proud of him. Everybody can attend that class. They get out of it, and it sounds great, but do we really apply what we've learned? And that's back to making the choice to expand. It's up to us to expand our lives. I was a military brat. I grew up as an Army kid. So I had a world of choices around being friendly with people that looked like me and didn't look like me, or the opposite. So I learned very early that I could embrace all. It's no wonder I'm in a setting this diverse. It's been there since the beginning, and I embraced it. The other thing is I became a military wife. That seems to happen to a lot of military kids. They kind of stay in that genre, if you will. You know, police marry police, and lawyers with lawyers, and doctors with doctors. So it's very interesting how we kind of blend and branch out. Well, I'm in a whole new way of life that has nothing to do with the military at all. But a lot of that foundation and those choices of being able to move quickly, I remember having to move as a military wife, pack up 3 kids, and move from a place that I might have loved. So we can draw from some of our memories on how to expand and change and choose better choices in our lives and not get stuck. Having gone through the decision to make about leaving a relationship where I was still in love, but it was not healthy for me to be there, was a major change. That change expanded me. The place that I was when I first moved into this apartment we're talking about, financially, it was depleting for me. I had 2 kids in college. I had joint accounts with a spouse, and things did not look very bright. This time when this change comes about, I've got a healthy 401k. I don't have any debt. My car is paid off. I've got this great credit score. And all these things are folding into my life in a way that I've made choices that expand me rather than contract me. So allowing ourselves to come into this teaching, take the classes, the power of decision, Paul just finished recently in reference to how we take the power into our own hands to grow. Now, see, this book is in pretty bad condition, too. I could get a new copy, but it won't have all my notes in it. So I still carry it around all taped up, but I will gift myself one day and try to transfer the information. But in reference to expanding, we have to be creative, right? So one of the chapters in this book is decide to be creative. Now, it was really interesting in the fact that I had to find a home. It felt like I was under pressure. Most people really take time to find their new home. You know, they save up a little bit of money and they know where they're going and they're, this didn't happen that way. It wasn't as relaxing at first. I became overwhelmed. I thought I was going to have to pack up things, put them in a storage because I had to fly out to Burlington, Vermont in a week. I go there again next week. I'm like, how am I going to travel and move and do all these things? I was just overwhelming myself, just biting off all these things. And then I thought about the power of decision. And those who took that class, you saw me sneaking up in there, right? Sitting in the back. Because I wanted to stay in my power about my decisions. And the most activating chapter, without being the one on happy, because you know I love happy, is deciding to be creative. Let me read from that. This time I need my help with my glasses. Whatever the power we may be that caused me to be on the planet at this time, I am glad it did so. I like this present world and its challenges and its opportunities. I like most of the problems that I have to meet. I handle them with some intelligence and learn greatly from them. I like living under a law of mental expansion and creative process that is forever making new this great world of mine. I keep my curiosity alive. I do not know enough. And I do not have enough. So I am seeking and finding. I am knocking and the doors are opening. We are in the mind of inexhaustible. The infant never rests on its laurels. It never stops creating for a moment. It expects us to do the same. It expects us to be fully alive, using our curiosity to feed new ideas into our consciousness. God never makes a dull person. It never created an average person. It never created a satisfied person. We are becoming people. So life is always in the becoming. We can get comfortable, right? We get real comfortable where we live and how things are. But the universe is going to shake it up a bit. Let's see how comfortable we really are. I was walking around my neighborhood just before this message came to me about moving, and there was a house that had a for sale sign on it, and they used to have the greatest decorations in the neighborhood. And I'm like, where are they going? Why are they leaving? And then more signs came up. Well, one day I was coming after running an errand right at Publix. I'm between two neat Publix. I'm trying to figure out when my new Publix is going to be. I'm scoping out my new neighborhood. So I had gone to Publix, and the door was open, and people were looking because it was for sale. So I want to see. So I walk in, and the guy that's looking allows me to see with him. Long story short about that, he was an actor from 12 Years of a Slave. And I thought he was going to buy the house, and he decided he's always in Atlanta, and he wanted to get something instead of renting. But I get back home, and 12 Years of a Slave is on HBO. I'm like, what? And then I realized I was in my place, 12 years. I'm like, what is all this 12-year stuff coming up? Well, this morning when I take my walk to get ready to come here and prepare, because I always have to get in nature, I try to stick to the script, but y'all know me. I see the lady that is moving out. Her house is under contract. I'm like, I'm under contract too. And she's having her coffee on her patio. So now I get to ask, why are you moving? She is moving because they like boating and fishing. I said, do you fish? No, that's my husband's thing. I like the boating part and the cocktails. So she is enjoying her last few days in her space, loving on it, just like how I'm loving on me and my neighborhood that I'm about to leave and go experience a new neighborhood. But I thought the universe just allowed me to talk to this woman that I've loved on her house all this time. Now she's out, and I went the opposite direction that I normally walk and ran into that situation. I said, you know, I love your decorations year after year. She says, you're not the first one to tell me that. And she said, the lady that's buying the place, I've told her that. So now she's going to be in competition with the neighborhood. So I thought, what an expansion to know that everybody's lives are shifting in different ways. I told her that I was moving too, and I told her the circumstances of mine. She said, oh, you got to move. Where her situation was different, where they chose to move. They kind of prepared for that. But guess what? Mine was a choice too. I wasn't sniffing and scurrying like they were. I was kind of hemming, hawing. And the universe let me start to snip and scurry again. Each of those characters are in us. It's up to us to decide which one we want to gravitate to and lean towards. And the universe will give us the signs. It will show us validation that we are headed in the right direction, that it is time for change. And it's up to us to expand that. And the final concept that gave me the gift of already having a place under contract within 2 weeks of knowing is spiritual mind treatment. How do we pray? How do we talk to God? When I was growing up, I talked to God begging and making a deal. If you do this, I will do that. And then I'd have a caveat if it happened. Well, you know I meant that when I was 25, not now. And it's up to us to not make a deal. It's up to us to be committed to what we say can be. If we're wishy-washy in our lives, we are going to be wishy-washy in everything. The things that we get. The neighbors that I have that are not sure. Because we do have neighbors that are in some serious situations with this move. There's one gentleman that moved in just 4 months ago. He did not have the pleasure of being in that space and loving on it for 12 years. He is undergoing cancer treatment as we speak. So this move is not, everybody's not ready for it the way I'm ready for it. But they came together and seemed like everybody started meeting at my apartment. I know every neighbor that's getting moved out and did not know every neighbor over the 12 years I've been there. So it's created this sense of community. All of a sudden, and I said, well, guys, it may be my fault that you all are getting kicked out because I wasn't moving, and now they're tearing it down, so blame me. But what the brighter side to life is knowing that what you speak into existence will come. And one of the reasons why I think they were gathering around me, not even knowing me, not knowing that I'm in this teaching, not knowing hardly anything about me, is that the universe puts me in place to share a life of gratitude with everybody. You are here for a reason. I became the spokesperson for this group, went over to the community that really runs it, the church at the corner of Wesley and Peachtree owns that property. That's why it's being torn down. They don't want to be in the property management business anymore. I don't blame them. If it was me, I'd do the same thing. But I did make note of some of these situations that were occurring. They are working with our community in reference to extending the stay for some. They waived the rent for June. Who does that? You don't live in space and not pay rent, do you? No. People do not have to pay rent in June or July. Now, where have you heard of anything like that before? All we did was speak it into the existence, pray about it, know it can be so, and so it is. Walk and take steps toward the direction you're going in, and the universe will open doors where there were only walls. Now, I'm not saying that these people are going to move like I did. They have not been studying this teaching like I have. It does not happen overnight. This move did not happen overnight. Life introduces us to so many things where people create their own prisons in life. And it's up to us to use treatment to open and break those chains. Let me read this I got years ago in reference to what work can be like. Okay, let me get this unstuck. Work versus prison. Just in case you ever get two environments mixed up, this should make things a little bit clearer. In prison, you spend the majority of your time in a 10 by 10 cell. At work, you can spend the majority of your time in an 8 by 8 cubicle. In prison, you get 3 meals a day, fully paid. At work, you get a break for one meal, and you have to pay for it. In prison, you get time off for good behavior. At work, you get more work for good behavior. In prison, you can watch TV and play games. At work, you can get fired for watching TV and playing games. In prison, you get your own toilet. At work, you have to share the toilet with some people that don't have good hygiene. In prison, they allow your family and friends to visit. At work, you aren't supposed to speak of your family. There is something seriously wrong with this picture, and maybe that's why they call it work. Well, we don't want to work at imprisoning ourselves in any environment. I think when I read this, I already had the freedom of working from home. That was another thing that was stressing me out, because if I'm not on the road, I work from home. I thought about packing up my stuff and living with somebody. I was starting to imprison myself and my thoughts of limitations about what was supposed to happen next. When I started being in gratitude and just praying, and my mantras, I want you to always have a mantra. You can start with nothing, and out of nothing, and out of no way, a way will be made. I say that every day, all day. And then my favorite, anybody who's ever gotten an email from me, when the end is held firmly enough in consciousness, the means to bring it about is already set in motion. So what are we setting in motion? It's up to us to know that change is inevitable. Let's embrace it. Let's be sniff and scurry. Let's not hem and haw. Let's make the choice to expand. Be creative. We're all creative. I took a creative class at IBM thinking I wasn't. I thought creativity was Michael Jackson and Picasso and David Barrett. We're all creative. It's up to us to create life anew and treat about it. There is a jewel in the treatment steps, and gratitude is the biggest one. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let us now soak in change and expansion and prayer as I give my opportunity to treat with you today. Let's breathe in and out that substance that is readily available for us. We don't have to go looking for it. It is right here. That's how life is about everything. And this is what I know. I know that there is one God. It's absolute and it is power filled. And I am one with this power. And each of us are one with this magnificent power that creates a way out of no way. It allows us to be in the relationships that enhance us, work that enhance us, growth that enhance us. This is an opportunity for us to know and use this power in a greater way than we've ever used it before. Life is meant to be abundant. We are supposed to be happy, but we are never supposed to settle or be content. We know that we can be playful in life, so it doesn't seem like work, and it will metamorph any situation that we have into a better situation. We may not see it in the moment, but if we are open enough, it will allow itself, and the signs will guide us. If we give thanks in all things, there's so much more to be thankful for. So we allow this opportunity to not let our cheese be moved, but we make our cheese. We know that anything that we desire can be. We don't allow war or what they say about the economy or what they say about anything negative in our lives. We know that we face the fear and we replace it with faith, that which is unseen, and we do it anyway. We allow life to be full and vibrant and enthusiastic and happy. And those challenges are stepping stones and learning tools. And we use them all throughout our lives, but we don't get stuck in any one place that's negative. We grab on to the positive. We don't eat once and for all, so this treatment is not once and for all. We all have more to do. We take it off one bite at a time, and we continue to move forward. We release this with love, tender care and kindness. The universe grabs hold to it, manifests it as we believe in our heart and mind, and we say together, and so it is.